This is Pastor Ron Laney from Pleasant Grove Church. Thank you so much for taking the time to tune in to us today, and I hope that this message is a great encouragement and a blessing to your life. Here is some good news from the Grove. All right, take your Bible, turn to Matthew chapter 6, if you got it with you, or scroll in your phone, find it there. We find ourselves taking a slow walk through what we traditionally call the Lord's Prayer. We're talking about pray like Jesus. Jesus is teaching us how to pray. He's given us a pattern to pray. He's given us the verbiage of prayer. He's given us the things we need to focus on. He's given us insights into the things that we need to talk to God about on a daily basis. So let's do this together. Can you just stand with me? I know you just sit down, but can you stand one more time and just honor God's word? And let's just read the Lord's Prayer together, and then we're going to pray. Matthew 6, verse 9 through 13. Jesus says this: "In this manner, therefore, pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen." Jesus, thank you so much for giving us this prayer. It's just a treasure to us. It's just a wonderful gift. Lord, you didn't just leave us to just grapple about on our own or to grope in the dark about our relationship with our Father. But Lord, you made the way possible, and you then teach us and walk us through the idea of what it is to relate to our Heavenly Father. I just pray, Lord, that you'd help us to begin to grasp what you intended when you spoke these words. We thank you, Lord. We give you our attention. We give you our heart again. Speak to us, Holy Spirit. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Amen. You may proceed again. All right, just a quick review. Last week, we talked about that phrase, "and forgive us our debts." And forgive us our debts. So we're at the part of the prayer where Jesus is focusing our attention on the idea of forgiveness. He said, this is something you need to talk to God about. Just you being forgiven of your sins. And now we're going to get to later on about you forgiving other people of the sins they commit against you. So Jesus is giving us a way to repair our relationship with our Heavenly Father, to keep our relationship clean. You know what it's like to keep the relationship clean? You got to keep it clean. You can't have all the baggage that we accumulate from times and offenses and hurts and all the stuff and attitudes and problems and bad decisions. You got to have a way to keep the relationship clean, whether it's a marriage or a family relationship or a work relationship. This is our relationship with God. You got to keep the air clean. And keep a short account is what we say. Always deal with stuff. In fact, in marriage, it tells us not to even go to bed mad. So that means you may stay up till next Thursday, but you ain't supposed to go to bed mad, right? So God, Jesus is teaching us to keep the baggage and all the barriers out of the way. All the things that tend to collect. Keep it out of the way. Talk to God about keeping your heart clean and your relationship clean. And Jesus knows that the answer to our sin, our debt problem. And we talked about the word debt, that sin carries with it this idea of debt. And the debt that's to be owed on sin is death. It's a capital offense. And Jesus' answer to our sin problem, our debt problem that we have with God, is forgiveness. It's not us working it out. It's not us just restitution. It's not reparations. It's not something like that. Jesus said, hey, the only way you can get out of this mess is if God extends to you this miracle of forgiveness. We talked about the idea of forgive. It means to let it go. Everybody say that with me. To let it go. And a lot of people have trouble with that, don't we? But God has the ability to pardon. He has the ability to release you from your obligation, to release you from this debt. God has the ability to let it go. And you know why he has the ability to do that? Because he loves you that much. Even when we curse his name, and even when we dishonor him and disrespect him, God has the ability, if you will humble yourself and repent, God has the ability to move that out of the way and let that go. I had a buddy who used to say something all the time. He'd look at us and we'd smart off to each other something. He'd look at me and say, I'm going to let that pass. You know, well, God's got the ability to do that. He loves us enough to forgive. Jesus wants us to live a forgiven life. Forgiveness is the way we get into the kingdom. It's also the way we maintain our relationship with God. It's what Jesus is teaching us here. And it's the way we maintain our relationships with one another as well. So last week we looked at these five pictures of forgiveness. We kind of went through these scriptures pretty quickly. And these five pictures, this is how God lets it go. This is how he forgives. He said, I will separate you from your sins as far as the east is from the west. And we talked about that. Come now, let us reason together. Though your sins be as scarlet, I will wash them white as snow. That's a miracle to take a garment that is totally dyed, totally stained, totally colored, and to turn it white again without damaging it. God said, I got the ability to forgive you just like that. It's a miracle, but I can do it. Then we talked about into the depths of the sea, that I will cast your sins into the depths of the sea. There's a real popular song a while back. It said the sea of forgetfulness. It's not a biblical phrase, but we kind of get the idea. That's the idea, that he's going to throw our sins into the depths of the sea. And then he said, I got this picture that I will remember your sins no more. I will remember your sins. When I think about you, I will not think about what I've forgiven. I told you the illustration that I was in a struggling season of my life, and I'd already asked Jesus to forgive me 50 times, at least. And I came to him that one day. Remember, I talked to you about it last week. I came to him and I said, Lord, I just want to tell you, I'm sorry. I'm so sorry again. I just shouldn't have done that. And he said, oh, if we're going to talk about this again today, I don't want to talk to you. I've already moved that out of the way. And this is the idea of remember no more, that when I think about you, I will not think about that wrong that you've done. And his mercies, the prophet says, are like new every morning. I mean, he wakes up every morning and his heart is renewed to love you again every single morning. Now, wouldn't it be awesome to live with somebody like that? That every day you got out of bed, they'd think you just a bomb diggity. All right, he's up. That's awesome. Man, she's alive. I'm great. This is awesome. That's the way God is about you. His heart is renewed toward you every single day because he doesn't carry all this baggage. He has the ability, we say forgive and forget, but he has the ability not to bring it up and to put it behind us. We may need that in our human relationships too. Then we talked about the handwritings that were against us were nailed to the cross. And we got these five pictures, and they're worthy of much, much contemplation and much study. But this is how God lets it go. And he tells us time and time again throughout his word, I want you to know that I don't hold it. When you humble yourself to me and you repent. Now, if you're not done that, it's still there. But if you've humbled yourself and repented and asked for God to forgive you, told him you're sorry, God takes that very seriously. And he says that kind of brokenness and that kind of humble heart, he said, I won't despise that. I won't turn away from that. Forgiveness is important. So now we turn to the second part of that forgiveness issue. We talked about forgive us our debts. And now let's, as we forgive our debtors, let's talk about forgive them. So we looked at the idea of receiving forgiveness from God. Now let's go to the second half. It talks about us learning to give forgiveness. And it's a tall order. It's a lot. So, and forgive us. Say that with me again. And forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Okay. So now Jesus' answer to our sin and debt problem towards God is forgiveness. Now, his answer to our sin problems with one another is forgiveness as well. Forgiveness is the way of the kingdom because it's the kingdom of love because God is love. And that's how he sets up his rule and his dominion. And he says that forgiveness is the way of my kingdom. This is the way of my people. And you know what? You're going to get plenty of opportunity if you just keep living to just work on this for yourself and for others, because you and I live in a world that's filled with sinners. We live in a world that's filled with struggling believers. We live in a world that's filled with growing believers. And none of us are getting it all right all the time. And so you're going to have opportunity to practice your forgiveness. You understand that? You already know this, don't you? On the job, they just get on your nerves. You just know how it works. In the house and them kids. Oh, my goodness, them kids. I always talk about them kids. But we got some, so we know about that. So we live in a world full of sinners. So you're going to get hurt. You're going to get your feelings hurt. You're going to get offended. And I won't do it on purpose. I don't think I will. I might even be the one that does that from time to time. Or maybe somebody that loves you very deeply might be that. But you're going to get your feelings hurt. You understand that? People are going to do you wrong And they got plenty of country songs to prove it. You know what I'm talking about? And their problem, their sin problem, will soon become your test. It'll soon become the test of whether or not you will become a forgiver. So how are you going to handle it? When people do offend you, when they do hurt your feelings, or they don't recognize you, or they don't give you the recognition you think you should deserve, or maybe they overlook you, or maybe they say something snide or in jest or something of that nature. How are you going to handle that? Anger? That's one way. I've been there, done that a bunch of times. Vengeance? Yeah, we try to work on that side too. Paybacks? Malice, where you plot and scheme to get them back. Tick for tack, you know, eye for eye. Bitterness, even hatred. How are you going to handle it? Or will you forgive? Well, they don't deserve forgiveness. Yeah, that's true. But neither do we deserve God's forgiveness. You're going to see how this works in just a couple Jesus stories in a minute. And neither did Jesus deserve to die on the cross. Neither did the just deserve to die for the unjust or the innocent for the guilty. That wasn't fair either. But he chose because he loves us. Now that's the part of the Lord's Prayer we're focusing on. Now let's skip to verse 14 and 15. These are the two verses that follow up the Lord's Prayer. And listen to what Jesus says right here. Lots of weight to these words. Jesus begins to talk about this forgiveness issue. For if you forgive men or women their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. Now, we just read through that on a Sunday morning. We just keep going and say, amen, brother. But you read slowly through that, and you'll get this little cramp in your gut. This is tight. This has got a lot of gravity and consequence to these words. Are you feeling it? Jesus seems to be pretty serious about this idea of forgiveness. And I can promise you, neither one of us, none of us, me included, live good enough to ignore this. You want to know how serious Jesus is about forgiveness? Well, look at the cross. And I'm quite aware, I've been living a long time too. I'm quite aware that the issue of forgiving other people is a very sensitive one. And it sparks all kinds of thoughts and emotions and all kinds of stuff out of us. And I understand that some issues are easier to forgive than others. And some issues are easier to forgive and just move on. And then there's other very serious, complicated, very costly issues that are lots more difficult for us to move on. So we're not trying to trivialize it, but we can't look away from this. So whatever the issue, whether it's a small thing, we've got to forgive, we've got to move on from that and let it go. Or even if it's a really big issue that's really cost you a lot of grief and a lot of pain and a lot of hurt, a lot of loss. Whatever, none of it, whether it takes you 3 seconds to forgive it or 3 years to forgive, forgiveness is always to be pursued by the believer. Always. It's the way of the kingdom. And it takes a lot of faith to follow the teaching of Jesus like this. A lot of faith. But beloved, I got to tell you that on the other side of forgiveness, in our relationship with God and in our relationship with people, on the other side of forgiveness is liberty, healing, and hope. Right on the other side. So I urge you, no matter what the offense, no matter how large the offense, no matter how much it costs you, do whatever it takes to get to your liberty and your healing. And that will involve forgiveness. Now, forgiveness does not mean now, if you and I have something we got to work out, if I forgive you, that don't mean we're going fishing Tuesday. You understand that? That reconciliation is a whole other process. But I can still forgive you, even though the relationship is somewhat damaged. And then we begin to work together maybe to rebuild the relationship. And that may take some other issues that we have to do. That's why we talk and we counsel and we read the word and we pray and we try to work things out. So forgiveness doesn't mean that we're all of a sudden just best buddies again. But it does mean that we're working towards healing. Does that make sense to you? All right. And certainly it doesn't mean that, you know, a lot of aggressive men have taken advantage of women and things like that, and the lady forgives him. It doesn't mean she subjects herself to that kind of abuse anymore either. If it's physical abuse, especially. If it's physical abuse, you forgive him and then call the police. You understand that, how that works? I think that's appropriate. All right. So it's the way of the kingdom. So now, as we forgive our debtors, let's kind of hone in on this phrase right here. As we forgive our debtors. This is us asking Father to make us good forgivers. God, will you make me a better forgiver? Some people are better at it than others. But becoming a forgiving person is really, really important to living in this kingdom. Jesus is making us mindful that we should be praying this idea. We should be praying into this idea of learning to let go of the offenses that come our way. You've got a need to let it go. And Jesus wants you praying about that, talking about it, because he's going to help you pray about it so you can better act it out. And he'll grace you to act it out. All right. So now, again, this idea of as we forgive our debtors, what would the alternative be? What would the opposite be of forgiveness? What would be the opposite of it all? Talk to me. What's the opposite of forgiving? Hatred? Harboring? Bitterness? And Paul talks about this root of bitterness. Misery? And you just keep playing the movie over and over in your head, don't you? Anybody ever seen them movies? They're reruns, aren't they? Those movies of what happened and what they said. And you know what happens? And then we say, well, this is what I should have said. And then we add another episode to the movie. Yeah. The alternative's not pretty. Jesus knows what he's talking about when he says, learn to forgive people. Learn to forgive. Now, he says this, that I will forgive you. This makes you choke to even read it now. I will forgive you according to the same degree that you forgive others. Really? So I've got to learn to get better at this because I'm a man who stands in need of forgiveness. I don't have it all right. And I don't need there to be anything between me and God. So I've got to get this right. So that means God ties the two together. He says, in order for you to get things right here, you got to get things right here. So forgiveness becomes this faith skill. It's a skill. It's a faith skill that we've got to grow in. For sure. Now listen to this. This part of the prayer is closely tied to what we call the new commandment. New commandment of the kingdom. Remember Jesus says this? This is the night he was betrayed. He says, a new commandment I give to you, that you love one another. Well, that's not new. That's not the new part. Scripture's always said that. You can go back into Leviticus to see that. You love one another. Here's the new part. As I have loved you. That you also love one another. And by this, all will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another. So this idea of forgiveness is tied to this. And if we could just say it like this, not doing any damage to the text or the thought or the idea, I want you to forgive as I have forgiven you. That's the same idea, isn't it? All right. Let's keep collecting now. Let's keep moving. Let's go to this Jesus story with the disciples here in Luke 17. Jesus says this to them, verse 3 through 5. Jesus says, take heed to yourselves. And then he gives them this scenario. If your brother sins against you, rebuke him. Okay, I got that part. I can do that. Hey, man, that wasn't cool. That wasn't good. Hey, stop it. Rebuke him, okay? And if he repents, sorry about that. Or maybe it's lots more serious than that. If he repents, forgive him, okay? All right, I can deal with that. It's a lot easier to forgive somebody when they humble themselves, isn't it? All right, now look at this. And if he sins against you 7 times in a day, that's like the same thing. He just keeps repeating the same thing 7 times in a day. And 7 times in a day returns to you saying, I repent, you shall forgive him. All right, it got a little difficult there now. I was good with the rebuking part. I'm good at that. I can shoot my mouth off pretty quick. But 7 times? Oh, we got this old saying, you know, fool me once, it's on you. Fool me twice, it's on me. And Jesus says 7. 7 is kind of one of those Bible numbers, isn't it? It's kind of the picture of completeness. Like 7 days of creation. There's all kinds of sevens in the book of Revelation. All kinds of sevens, kind of like God's complete number kind of deal. So I don't think Jesus is saying count to 7 and on 8th time you can pop him in the lip. I don't think he's saying that. I think he's saying be really complete in your forgiveness. Be total in your forgiveness. 7 times in a day? 1's okay. 2, yeah, you're pushing it. 3, I'm out of here. 7? And look at their response. Their response is great. The apostles look at Jesus and said to the Lord, increase our faith. See, we often think about forgiveness being a pain issue, that when I get over it, I'll be okay and then I'll be able to forgive you. But Jesus and the disciples right here say, no, I know it's not a pain issue, it's a faith issue. And they basically say, you know what? If Peter keeps shooting off his mouth like that, I don't know if I got faith to forgive that brother or not. So what I need you to do, Jesus, is to increase our faith, increase my faith. And faith is simply just taking God at his word, doing what he says, putting it in action. And he says this right here. He says, increase our faith. They kind of collectively kind of take a gasp. You can kind of hear all the guys. It's a room full of guys. You can kind of hear them. Whew, I don't know if I got faith for that, Jesus. And somebody spoke up and said, Lord, will you give me that kind of faith? Will you give me that kind of faith that would be in my marriage, where we don't have to have this kind of baggage that builds up and we end up with a lawyer, and she's got a lawyer and we got a lawyer and the kids are split down the middle. We ain't got to do all that. Can you increase our faith to where we know there may be some complicated issues to work out, but can you increase our faith to where we know that forgiveness is the way of our marriage, that forgiveness is the way of our family, that forgiveness is the way I'm supposed to treat my employees and treat my friends? Forgiveness? Can you increase my faith, Jesus? To where I really believe that what you're saying is true? That's a pretty good question. That's a pretty good request, isn't it? Can we do that? Can we do that right now? Because we need to get here. We need to get here. And I get to thinking about that because you know how we are as humans. If he sins against you 7 times in a day, and then comes to you saying, I'm sorry, I don't know what's wrong with me. I keep doing this. That sounds a lot like some of our prayers to Jesus, doesn't it? So I'm glad he set the system up like this, the kingdom up like this, because he knew a knucklehead named Ron Laney was going to come down the road and would need 7 times a day a lot of times. You know what I'm talking about? So can we ask him to increase our faith? He's that way towards us. Lord, help us. We need you to increase our faith. And we know faith comes by hearing. We're hearing some stuff that stretches us for sure. And wherever it's applicable for us, wherever we need to appropriate this, I pray you would increase our faith into that relationship, not into that other person. This is not about them. This is about me and you. This is not about me believing what you say. Increase our faith, each one and all of us collectively. increase our faith to believe that forgiveness really is the best answer. To let it go is the best way. Help us, Lord. Give us wisdom. Give us grace. All right. That's just prayer number one. We're not done. Okay. Somebody looked at the watch and said, oh, wow, this is awesome. No. Contrary. All right. Now, listen to the kingdom logic here. Jesus tells this story in Matthew 18. And he gives us the Savior's kingdom logic right here. He says, the kingdom of heaven is like a certain king who wanted to settle accounts with his servants. When he had begun to settle accounts, one was brought to him who owed him 10,000 talents. That's a lot of money. Okay? That's millions in equivalency. That would be like millions of dollars. But as he was not able to pay, his master commanded that he be sold, and with his wife and children, indentured slavery kind of thing, pay off the debt. And all that he had, and that payment would be made. The servant therefore fell down before him, saying, Master, have patience with me, and I will pay you all. And then the master of that servant was moved with compassion, released him, and forgave him the millions of dollars. Forgave the debt. Now the story turns. But that servant went out, the one who had been forgiven, went out and found one of his fellow servants who owed him 100 denarii. That'd be around 50 bucks or so. And he laid hands on him, grabbed him, shook him up a little bit, and he took him by the throat saying, man, you better give me my money. Pay me what you owe. Right? You see the scenario? So his fellow servant fell down at his feet and begged him, saying, have patience with me, and I will pay you all. Uh-oh, whose words were those? Should have rang familiar. And he would not, but went and threw him into prison till he should pay the debt. So when his fellow servants saw what had been done, they were grieved, and they came and told their master all that had been done. Then his master, the big guy, the king, after he had called him, said to him, you wicked servant, I forgave you all that debt because you begged me. Should you not also have had compassion on your fellow servant just as I had pity on you? And his master was angry, delivered him to the torturers until he should pay all that was due to him. And here's the weight. Jesus says, so my heavenly Father also will do to you if each of you from his heart does not forgive his brother his trespasses. That's heavy duty. That's heavy stuff. But did you see the kingdom logic? So what's the kingdom logic? The kingdom logic is if somebody forgives you of millions of dollars, surely you could let go of $50. If this king could let go of that massive amount of debt and call it pardoned and forgiven, gone, let go, surely this little debt over here, this little offense, surely you could let that go. And the kingdom logic is, God has forgiven us of all kinds of great big old stuff and opened up the doors of his kingdom to us and forgiven us, washed us clean, east from west, into the depths of the seas, taking our sins away from us. You know, all that. And he's removed this great big barrier between him and you, this million-dollar barrier, so to speak. This unpayable debt. God's removed it. And the way God sees the things that we're trying to get over, it's small compared to the things God got over to have a relationship with you. You see the kingdom logic? So you know what? When Jesus sees us down here holding grudges, talking about people, maligning people, gossiping about people, railing on people, stirring up junk, God looks over heaven and says, really? Are you kidding me, right? after all that I've done for you, you gonna act like that? Are you serious? Gabriel, you got to see this girl. This girl has lost it. Who does this guy think he is? That's the kingdom logic now. See what I'm talking about? That verse 35 will make you crawl out of here on your knees now. All right. One more picture here. We're going to see Jesus doing this himself. He's not just pointing the way. He's like leading the way in this forgiveness thing. So you see Jesus praying from the cross. Luke 23, verse 34. Get this. Jesus on the cross. Now, on the cross. At the most excruciating time. Right here. Jesus looks as he's bleeding. He's dying. And with his last few breaths, he gasps out the words and he says this, Father, forgive them while he's dying. Forgive them for they do not know what they do. And they divided his garments and cast lots. At the most excruciating time, when his pain was at its highest, when his pain was the most intense, Jesus forgave those who were in the very process of murdering him at that time. That's pretty intense. I was reading that and I thought, Lord, what do I need to get out of that? Because this is like the ultimate in forgiveness now. When it's costing you the most. This is the ultimate. And forgiving those who trespass against you. This is the ultimate in that. And when I read that, the Lord said, I want you to forgive while it still hurts. Because many are waiting until the pain stops and they're waiting to forgive until they feel better. That's a mistake. That's a mistake. Forgive while it still hurts, while you're still being crucified by it. You got to forgive while it still hurts. Don't miss that opportunity. Now, why? Because we want to keep that poison out of us. That poison that comes, that bitterness that comes to set up. You want to flush that out of your soul as quickly as possible. And Jesus knew it. He wouldn't let bitterness even have a chance. Don't give that sin a chance to make you cold, to make you hard, to make you bitter. Because hey, we've all met the bitter old person that hadn't got over anything in their whole life, and nobody wants to see them, nobody wants to talk to them, and the poor lady at Walmart don't want to check them out either. You know what I'm talking about? We've all met that person, and in order to keep you from becoming that person, Jesus says, You need to forgive as quickly as possible too. Even while it still hurts. Now he could have waited until after the resurrection to say, Father, forgive them. Boy, all this turned out great. He didn't wait till the resurrection now. He forgave them at the crucifixion. That's another level, isn't it? What a picture. No wonder he's the Savior. Close it up with this. That whole phrase. Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. That whole phrase. The first part. Forgive us our debts. Forgive us our debts. That's forgive us. Forgive me. And that's you taking in forgiveness. I liken it to kind of inhaling. Everybody just take a deep breath. Take a deep breath. You're taking in God's forgiveness. You're inhaling. When you reach out to Him, you take in His forgiveness into you. You breathe in God's forgiveness. And when you breathe in God's forgiveness, He gives you a whole brand new life. It's amazing. It's a miracle. Forgive us. I'm taking it in. Okay. Now, forgiving our debtors. Forgive our debtors. It's like exhaling. It's like breathing out. It's like breathing out. You know what they teach us in biology? They teach us that when you and I breathe out, it gives life to a lot of stuff around us. You know, we breathe in the oxygen and we give off the carbon dioxide, and that gives life to plants and all those kind of things. Same's true with forgiveness. When you inhale forgiveness and then you exhale forgiveness to others, it helps give life to somebody else. So it's kind of like breathing. This kingdom way, this is the way God's life kind of operates. You breathe it in, and then the logic is you just exhale it out. It's like breathing. Now, think about this. As you breathe in and out, that's how you experience life. In the spiritual sense of this, as you breathe in God's forgiveness and breathe out that forgiveness, and you not only become a forgiven person, but now you become a forgiving person, you begin to experience the life of God in your life. And that life now becomes your life. I need to take that in, Lord. But I need to give it out too. See what I'm talking about? That's the flow of the kingdom. That's the flow of life. That's the only hope we have between us and God. That's the only hope we have to maintain any kind of proper relationship with people. Now, don't hold your breath. Okay, what happens if I hold my breath on the inhale and I don't take in God's forgiveness? I die. And worse than just dying a physical death, I die in my sins and trespasses. That's not good. Because if you die in sins and trespasses, then you experience eternal death. So don't hold your breath between you and God. Don't refrain from inhaling. If we had a little game we could play, I could see who turned blue first, you know. Hold your breath. Don't inhale. Hold your breath. And you know, by 12:04, everybody be asleep. So we know that if we don't take in God's forgiveness, then we don't take in His life. But what happens if I inhale, but then I hold my breath on the exhale? What happens? Well, you're going to pass out there too. You're going to die on that end. You see what I'm talking about? Inhale, take it in. Forgive us. Forgive them. It's important. And I don't want to belittle anybody's issues. I don't want to make light of some very serious stuff that's happened. But no matter what it takes, get to that place of forgiveness. I don't care how many counseling sessions you got to go to. I don't care how many prayer sessions you got to have. You've got to get to forgiveness. It's the only way life works. You know why? Because there's no perfect people. There's no such thing as a perfect marriage. There's no such thing as a perfect spouse. Although I got pretty close. I got to say that. There's no such thing as perfect people. So we're going to get a lot of practice. We're going to get a lot of opportunity. Lord, help us. You threw a lot of weight into this issue, Lord. And the disciples knew then how difficult it would be. And your disciples today, we know how difficult this is. But Lord, our human tendencies and our human frailties aside, increase our faith. We've had an opportunity to hear this morning. Now we're going to step out of here and we're going to have opportunity to act this out. So increase our faith just to believe what you say. And Lord, I know from my vantage point, I've received so much grace from you. How could I not be a gracious man? I've received so much mercy from you, Lord. How could I not be a merciful man? I've received so much forgiveness from you, Lord, from the time we even started our relationship. How could I not become a forgiving man? So Jesus, thank you for the head-on collision with all this. And I pray you'd help each one of us to taste of the freedom that's on the other side. To taste of the healing that can come to a marriage. To taste of a healing that can come to a broken relationship or a broken heart. Do what you do, Jesus.